line 2 of the Bible. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the God himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
We're going to stand and sing our second hymn, The Angel Gabriel.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25 on page 965, if you're following it in the Bibles. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do please sit down. What great passages, and I had a bit of a dilemma whether to preach on one, whether to look at the similarities between both, and if only to preach on one, which one to go with. And in the end, I decided to go with Matthew. And I love the fact that Matthew tells the story of Jesus' birth from Joseph's perspective. Because actually, I think that Joseph is a bit of the unsung hero of the nativity story. With most pregnancies, the interest always tends to focus on the mother and the baby. And this is definitely the case in Luke's gospel. And we've just been singing about it in Luke 2:20, when the angel appeared to Mary. He revealed to her that she would have a baby, Jesus, the Son of God. But how many of us remember that an angel actually also spoke to Joseph? Not just once, but four times. If you read Matthew chapters 1 and 2, you'll see for yourself. Mary has a voice. Luke records her conversation with the angel as she questions him about God's plan, and we share in her excitement when she meets with her cousin Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist, and out of Mary's mouth pours this wonderful song of praise, the Magnificat, which to this day is still said or sung in churches around the world. But in contrast, Joseph doesn't have a speaking role at all. In all four Gospels, his voice is silent. Even the shepherds get to say more than Joseph does. But sometimes it's what we don't say that is more important than what we say. Let me explain. With one careless or angry word, Joseph could have destroyed Mary's reputation and cost her and her unborn baby their lives. God chose Joseph for his steadiness, his carefulness, his thoughtfulness, his kindness, and yes, his quiet discretion. Mary is honored for her obedience to God's plan. But how many of us remember that Joseph faced an equally costly and difficult choice? And Jesus needed the care and protection of both his earthly parents if he was to survive into adulthood, as well as learn all that he needed to know. And God needed Joseph, as well as Mary, to make sure that this would happen. Joseph was part of his plan as well. So what does Matthew's gospel tell us about Joseph? Well, we know he was a carpenter. Matthew 13:55, when Jesus is teaching in his hometown of Nazareth, and the people there are offended by him. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? I.e., who do you think you are, Jesus, to stand up and teach us? We remember who your dad was. Go back to your workshop." And the townsfolk may have looked down on carpentry as a menial trade, but actually all of them depended on someone like Joseph. And Joseph would have earned a very reasonable day's pay for a very hard day's work. Much of it would have been routine, simple but strong furniture, tables, chairs, bed frames, stools, doors and roof beams, but it would all have required care and attention. Any shoddy workmanship and his patrons would soon have begun looking elsewhere. And Joseph might well have travelled round to local towns and villages, depending on what other commissions he got. And in a rural community, farmers would also have been amongst his regular customers. Joseph would have been skilled at making agricultural tools, ploughs, threshing sledges, and yokes. In other words, if it was in wood, Joseph was your man. Incidentally, when Jesus said in Matthew 11:30, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," he could well have been speaking literally as well as metaphorically. He would have watched Joseph patiently shaping and smoothing the pieces of wood, working to achieve the perfect balance of strength and comfort, making sure it was perfectly finished off so that the animal was comfortable and had just the right amount of support to enable him to do the job. And Jesus probably helped Joseph to finish his work on many an occasion and knew for himself the precision and care that was required for a tailor-made and comfortable fit. In Facebook language, Joseph was in a relationship, Matthew 1:18. Mary was pledged to be married to him. And this was far more binding than a modern engagement. Deuteronomy 22:24 makes it clear that a betrothed woman was regarded as a wife. And Matthew describes Joseph as a husband in verse 19. But actually, Mary wasn't a wife in every respect, and nor was Joseph a husband, because during this waiting period, they weren't allowed to have any sexual intimacy. And Matthew emphasizes this when he adds the words, "Before they came together, Mary was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit." This must have been Joseph's worst nightmare. How could Mary possibly be pregnant? It definitely wasn't him, so who was it? How could she shame him like this? He would be the laughingstock of the whole village. And the penalty for adultery was stoning. If Joseph said the word, Mary would die. Matthew 1:19 says Joseph was a righteous man. He was a good Jew. He was zealous in keeping the law. And no one would condemn him for doing what the law required. Yet Joseph said nothing. He clearly still loved Mary despite what had happened. He didn't want her to be exposed to public disgrace, says Matthew. And Deuteronomy 24:1 permitted divorce if a man discovered something indecent about his wife. And Joseph wanted to sign the papers quietly so that their betrothal would be terminated discreetly. And then, as a single woman, Mary should hopefully be able to avoid the death penalty. And Joseph is still thinking about all this when an angel appeared to him in a dream. Matthew 1:20. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God knew that despite Joseph's outward steadiness, his mind and his emotions were in turmoil. He was feeling sick with disappointment. His self-esteem was really battered, and God wanted to restore Joseph's self-worth. And he does this through the angel's opening words, which remind Joseph of who he is. You are Joseph. You're a descendant of the greatest king of Israel. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. Do not be afraid. And I think that there are times when God wants to remind us, when we're going through turmoil, of who we are, that we are his children. We belong to him. And no matter what our outward circumstances may be, no matter what confusion or chaos our lives are descending into, that we belong to him. We are his children. And he tells us, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. God knew that what he was going to ask of Joseph was really hard, because in one sense it would have been easier for Joseph to have had Mary stoned, because that was the law. Everyone would have expected that. And divorcing Mary was the lesser punishment, and people would probably still have been surprised at Joseph taking this soft approach, but he was still acting within the law. But God expecting Joseph as a righteous man to marry Mary in her condition was outrageous. Logically, it was the wrong thing to do. And it would perhaps take a bit more than a do not be afraid to convince him. And God gives Joseph more, amazingly more. For now, through the angel's words, Joseph hears for himself how this baby has been conceived and who he is. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph must have been overwhelmed. First of all, Mary hadn't been unfaithful. Joseph didn't have to get rid of her. His love hadn't been rejected. They could still get married. That would be enough to make any man rejoice. But there was more, far more. This baby was the Messiah that everyone was waiting for, the promised royal son of David. And God had chosen him, Joseph, a humble carpenter, to marry the child's mother. Just how overwhelming was that? And the angel's message was consistent with what Gabriel said to Mary in Luke 1. So when Mary first told Joseph what Gabriel had said, I suspect Joseph thought she was mad, making up a crazy story to disguise the sordid reality of how she'd fallen pregnant. But now Joseph knew that Mary's extraordinary story was true. And the effect on Joseph of this encounter with God was electric. He took immediate action. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Joseph probably wasn't used to taking quick action. He was a planner by nature. He would think carefully about each project. He would take time to select the best materials, to feel the grain of the wood, to see just how it should be used. But when God called him to act, there was no hesitation. It's as if God was drawing on a different side of Joseph's character. Maybe Joseph didn't know he could be so decisive. And God would speak to Joseph three more times. On each occasion, Jesus' life depended on it. And on each occasion, God depended on Joseph. And the first time was after the visit of the Magi, Matthew 2:13. When the Magi had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. What trust God placed in Joseph. The journey to Bethlehem had probably been the longest journey Joseph had ever undertaken. And now God was asking him to go to Egypt and under such dangerous circumstances. Joseph could never have anticipated this when he first said yes to God. But God trusted Joseph, and we can see how Joseph trusted God. And just as instructed, he stayed in Egypt until God told him it was safe to return. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." And finally, Joseph was warned to stay away from the area of Judea, where Herod's son Archelaus was now in power. Matthew 2:20, having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. Joseph was finally home. And apart from a few brief references, this is where Matthew concludes Joseph's story. When I woke up this morning, I was thinking about this sermon and just sort of praying about it and saying to God, what do you want me to draw out of it? Because I wrote a conclusion, but actually I'm not going to use it. What came into my mind was The Hobbit. Seasonal, I know, because the film of The Hobbit has just come out. But The Hobbit was the most unlikely person to have an adventure. He was used to a life of routine and everything in its place and knowing exactly how everything should be done. And he was chosen for this quest, which would be dangerous, exciting, take him to places that he could never have imagined. And you would think that actually Gandalf would have chosen someone completely different. He would have gone for one of the elves, one of the warriors, one of the princes. He wouldn't have chosen the most unlikely person. And it just reminded me, God chose Joseph. Joseph was an ordinary chap. He was quiet. He was unassuming. He wasn't an... You get the impression he was steady rather than exciting. But God knew Joseph through and through. He knew his character. He knew exactly who Joseph was. But in the process of Joseph obeying him, God drew out of him new and exciting things. And I believe that we're all a bit like Joseph, frankly. We all live fairly steady lives, sort of same old. We know roughly what's going to happen, and we plan what's going to happen. But actually, God wants us to take part in this amazing adventure of following Jesus. And we don't know where it will lead. I've often said before, when I first became a Christian, I had no idea I'd end up being ordained and doing what I do here. And I'm sure you've all got different stories of the things that you've done and the people you've met and the experiences you've had as a result of following God. And I think he's saying to all of us, don't be afraid, because so often we're held back from being the people God wants us to be, from doing the things we hear him calling us and nudging us and saying, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I need you to do this. And Joseph discovered his destiny when he said yes to God, when he obeyed what God was saying. He stepped into this amazing destiny. And I think so often we're sitting on the edges of our destiny because we want to stay in control and stick with the same old, because it's safer. And God is actually saying, there's something fantastic out there. Just step into it. Trust me, obey me. Every step of the way, I'll speak to you and I'll guide you. And Joseph started listening to Jesus, to God. And as he listened and obeyed, God told him more. And I think there's a story there for us. If we don't obey God when he speaks to us, he may think, well, are you going to obey me? Whereas if we obey him, then he says, well, that's good. Let me try you again. Let's take you deeper. Let's take you on further in the journey. So there we go. He doesn't want us to miss out on our own personal adventure with him.